You're listening to The B-Side, a podcast of Blessed Hope Community Church. Hey, this is Malia, your host as usual, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Pastor David.
Good morning. Well, depending on when you're listening to this.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, good evening, and tonight.
Yeah. We are recording this post-election day.
Yes.
So,
post-election day. I'm tired. I stayed up way too late.
I'm
tired.
Went to bed at my normal early bedtime, knowing that we weren't probably going to know anything until the morning. And I slept just fine.
Yeah. I slept great too because I was tired because I stayed up way too late watching. So.
Oh, what a time to be alive.
I know, right? It's been fun. I say fun in the, you know, sarcastic way of just watching all the, when I woke up this morning, watching all the Facebook reactions on both sides, they just kind of made me chuckle.
It is, it's interesting because I'm not the kind of person that's going to, you know, post anything about it because I mean, you know, and it was funny because, when Tyler woke up this morning, the first thing he asked was who won the election?
Yeah.
And then he came in later and he's like, oh my gosh, the things that people are saying and blah. I was like, I know, dude, I know. It was like, you just got to stay away from that stuff. Yeah.
It was, for me, it was fun because Libby stayed, you know, she was up with for a while and she was watching. She had her nose in her phone, but she was paying, you know, so we would talk at different times about stuff and that was kind of fun. And then kind of the same thing, you know, this morning, she actually went to bed, you know, much earlier than I did, but she texted me at one point. I told her the results of Iowa when they finally said what Iowa was. And so then she's just like, well, did they call this? And she was listing the other states we were waiting for. And I'm like, no. So that was fun.
Yeah.
Kind of like that learning.
She's getting into experience. It a little bit. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. I told Tyler when we were talking this morning, I said, you know, you'll be able to vote at the next election because he'll be 18 next year. And he's like, well, that's a little ways away still. I was like, yeah, but, you know, you can just, I'm like, that's exciting, right? Yeah. You'll get to be involved in the next one. And so he's like, I don't know. And I was like, oh, you'll vote. Yeah. I'm like, it's good to vote.
Yeah, no, Libby said the same thing at supper last night because she'd be right at 18 for the next one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep. Exciting times.
It is. The first time I get to take her.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, ours will probably be absentee because that's how I like to
go.
And I can see Tyler preferring that method as well. So I was like, I'll walk you through the whole process.
We went. Yeah. Amy was Amy didn't say nothing to me, but I think she was a little annoyed because that took so long.
Oh.
Because I don't do it all the time, but I did last night. I was sitting there. I was looking up all the judges.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was just not like about them. But the main thing I look is like, when were they appointed, who appointed them, that kind of stuff. And I was sitting there with my phone looking them all up, and it was a long list of judges. Amy and Piper setting off on the side, just you could just tell they were like, would you just hurry up?
That's why I vote absentee. Because I like to just have Villa take my time at home.
That's the experience, doing it right there.
All right. Well, we are moving right along in our Revelation series, and every week you... I mean, I guess not the past few weeks, but I know you're like trying to tackle a couple chapters.
Yeah, this one I did.
And it's just not working.
Yeah, this one I knew. I was like, we're just
doing
much. This.
So we're going to just kind of recap and look a little deeper into chapter 14, specifically looking at the 144,000 and what that means. And the three angels, that's what you spent most of your time on Sunday.
Three angels and the harvest of the earth.
Yes. Yes. So, we ended on a real good note. so
listen, this Sunday is going to be a whole lot.
Yeah.
Better
the bowl
note,
judgments.
So, yeah.
Yep. Yep. So here we go. It's on like Donkey Kong, right?
Yeah.
So the 144,000, you said that they are the Jewish believers that God seals, right?
Yes.
Who belong, so they're the believers that belong to God.
Yes.
They live through the entirety of the tribulation.
That's the, I'm going to say the assumption.
Right.
Based on what we're,
You said men.
Yep.
And it alludes to men because it talks about them being virgins.
Yep.
or not being with a woman.
Yep.
And so like, are they really all male?
So the studying, at least, I mean, this is, again, we've talked about this many times, the speculation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of scripture, especially Revelation, is the studying I have done, it all, I have not found one that has not said yes. They are all Jewish male believers that, you know, are selected by God for this purpose. Part of that is based on what is said in, you know, the 14 that we were looking at, being, where does it talk about it? Verse 4, these are those who did not defile themselves with women, for they kept themselves pure. So that's what another, you know, so right there, it's a very clear
mm-hmm.
saying women. It didn't say, like, didn't defile themselves with sexual relations or right. like, you know, making it out like it could be both. The other thing, the reason that I think a lot of commentaries say that it would be men is because it's not saying that women weren't included in like genealogy lines,
mm-hmm.
but like when you go back to chapter 4, when it identifies they're coming from these tribes, normally in Jewish culture, that's where your heritage came was from, the line of the man.
Okay.
Right. So that would be another thing that people might point at to say, that's why we're saying they're most likely going to be men.
Okay. So this isn't like an exclusion of women here necessarily.
Not necessarily, but it's the, again, it's the culture, you know, that we, sure. you know, the cultural of that's who's writing this. And then, yeah, it's not an exclusion of women, but see, this is where it gets interesting, right?
Right.
Because now you're going back to, and I don't want to get into a deep thing here of like what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, but that's another discussion that comes amongst Christians at times in different interpretations of the Bible, right? Is who is allowed? I don't even like using the word allowed. I guess, who does God call to go be the proclaimers of his word
mm-hmm.
broadly, right?
Right?
And there are those that interpret scripture saying that there's certain
are
levels.
Are we off the hook? Are women off the hook?
No, oh, no, you still got to okay. proclaim the gospel. But I mean, you take churches that say like only men can be, well, pastors or
sure.
that elder role or, yep. or whatnot scripturally. So again, it's one of those discussions where it doesn't matter to me. At
sure.
the end of the day, if half of them are women, right on God. If they're all men, right on God. If yep. it's all women, okay. You know, it's another one of those great examples to me that I, you know, I don't plan on being here for it. I plan on watching from a distance.
Yes. Yes.
But the way scripture Same. Presents it, it seems to be presenting it that, yes, it is 144,000
okay.
men
okay.
that are selected.
All right.
So.
So let's look at, let's see here, verse 2b into 3.
2B.
The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps, and they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and before the elders. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. Why can only the 144,000 learn the song?
Because they're the only ones that go through the experience that they go through. I mean, that's the reality if you think about a lot of... So... There's a song, I didn't think about this until just this second. There's a song by Mercy Me that came out a few years ago, and I can't remember the name of the song for the life of me, but I love it. Every time I hear it, I love the song.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember listening to the lead singer, Mercy Me, Bart, right? That's his name. He was talking about it, and he wrote the song because, if I remember right, the story went that they found out that their child had diabetes or something like that. Like it was a pretty significant, serious thing at that moment. And one of the lines in the beginning of the song talks about how easy it is to get up in front on stage and present this like strength of faith, but like eternal, you know, like for himself, he's wrestling. He was speaking into the power of the meaning of the song because it was based on his experience.
Sure.
144,000 are going to have a song that only they know and only they can sing because there's nobody else that's going to go through the experience of what they're going to have.
Interesting.
I mean, worship is extremely personal,
mm-hmm.
you know, and especially when it's worship that you're expressing of yourself And that's the power. It's no different if you think about, like, we read the Psalms, which are songs, right? David's experiences, and we can relate to them, but still, only David knows what it's like to, in some case, you take some of the Psalms that David wrote where his own son's trying to kill him and he's hiding in a cave. Like, I can't relate to that, but it's a very personal thing to him. Mm-hmm. So that's my answer to that is I think that's the only reason they know that song is because they're the only ones that are going to go through that experience of the tribulation and the Antichrist. And while other believers are going to do it, but they're the only ones that are going to experience being sealed by God to be, you know.
Sure.
And it, we see here, nobody else, they're standing with Christ on Mount Zion. So again, I don't get to know what that, from their perspective, that's why it's just for them. Mm-hmm. So
why do you think Christianity has always been a faith that sings and, like, according to this, always will be?
I have no clue. Moving on.
You're supposed to be know all the answers, David.
I did. I have no clue. I'm humble in my ignorance. I have no clue.
Humor us.
I know. I'm chuckling because I told you behind the scenes, people. I told her before we started. I don't have an answer to
speculate.
This. I have no answer to this. I mean, I really don't know. I mean, there's something about me.
I feel like it goes back to what you were saying with the Psalms.
Yeah. I mean, but right now, my brain is just running. You know, I'm thinking about, music for a second. Music to sound good, right, has this harmony to it. It has this, there's a balance, there's a unity in it to make it sound good. We all know when music does not sound good. Mm-hmm. We all know when music sounds amazing, right? I don't want anybody is hearing this. I'm not talking about quality of singing. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about this gift that God gave us of music. There's a beauty to it. There's a harmony to it. There's a balance to it. I think music, when you think about it, how much music represents God. Like, music is a representation of creation itself. God created the universe with balance and harmony and a beauty to it. And, you know, even ourselves, you think about us as, I know I'm kind of going way off because but my brain is just rushing right now with these thoughts. You think about even the human body, like just even this, right? Like who we are, there's this beautiful unity and balance and thing. And so it's all this interconnected thing. And I think God gave us music as a way to express, it's sad to me when music is just, you know, that we lessen it to just this thing we do, you know, like, you know, even like you think about our Sunday morning services is, well, we sing our three songs and then we do this and then we do this. And we miss the beauty of why he gave us music. Music is our ability to express emotion, to express truth, to express gratitude. And I don't know, it's a big question. I don't know, but it's a beautiful gift. I find it sad when people don't embrace music and embrace worship in that mode, which we see that a lot too. There's a lot of people that don't even allow it. It's interesting to me when you have people, and I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, but I'm gonna just say it. Usually it's a lot of men, right? You have men that'll get in a car and they will sing to their favorite rock band, right? They will get all into it for that, and then they come to church and they're stone-faced and they won't even open their mouths. And I'm not judging with that. I think
we're judging.
No, I'm not.
I'm just kidding.
I'm not judging. Judge Malia on that one. I'm pointing it out because it's unfortunate to me because there's something that has there's a trap or there's a lie that got into their head for some reason. They don't express that, but then like men that'll say, I am not an emotional person, but then you go watch them at a football game. It's like, liar. Yeah. You are so expressive.
Yeah.
And
there's some sort of like vulnerability in our faith that for some reason, some guys just won't allow themselves to tap into and experience. Yeah. And it is unfortunate.
It is. I feel bad for, not that I'm sitting there feeling sorry for them, but at the same time, it's like, man, I think you're missing out.
Yeah.
And then the lie of, because then when I've said that to people, they'll look at me, well, I don't sing like you. It's like, who cares?
Yeah.
That God's never put that as a stipulation.
Doesn't stop me.
Well, you know, he's never put that as a stipulation
Yeah.
of worship and yeah. singing and music and the beauty of it. And my most, if I look back on my Christianity, I can pinpoint right now, like even four major moments of connection with God that happened through music, like a moment of worship where he mm-hmm. just, I mean, I have one I can think of where I was leading worship and he just hit me and I was a ball. I mean, the emotion was over. Like I had to stop and I sat down on the stage because mm-hmm. I was so overwhelmed with just emotion of just mm-hmm. weeping, you know. Mm-hmm. I have another one. I remember being at a very large church, like thousands of people were there and I'm singing and God, I heard him plain as day say, he's just like, humble yourself and get on your knees. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. There's people. And I'm like, are you mm-hmm. kidding me? And I fought it for about three songs. This was a mm-hmm. church that sang for like an hour.
Okay.
And I fought it for like three songs and I was finally like, fine. And I remember getting on my knees in this church and that's where God taught me this amazing lesson. He's like, David, because I'm like, God, I can't do it. People are going to, he's like, mm-hmm. you arrogant, prideful. He's like, do you really think these people give a rip about you?
There we go.
You know,
the golden phrase.
Yeah. And it was very humbling to me because I sat there thinking like I was going to be the focal point. And God's yeah. like, nobody cares about you. Like, and so mm-hmm. I've had these powerful moments in worship. Music worship. I don't want to, you know.
Right.
So anyways.
Yeah, don't get it twisted.
No. Well, you know, you say worship and that's what people know.
Yeah.
So again, ultimately my answer is I don't know why, but mm-hmm. it's a great gift he's given to us.
It really is.
And it's mm-hmm. unfortunate that it can be twisted so easily.
Mm-hmm.
And we miss out mm-hmm. a lot of times. So.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so let's move on to those angels.
I just laughed because obviously my answer was sufficient because we're moving on.
Listen, I don't have an answer either, so I just always bank on you having the answers, you know?
Yeah, no, actually, when you said it, I sat there going like, huh, that is a question I have never contemplated yeah. before, so.
Yeah. The angels.
Yeah.
So we're looking at two different wine vintages. So there's the wine of sexual immorality and the wine of God's wrath. And really anyone who drinks the first will drink the second.
Mm-hmm.
There's talk about rest here. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. So what are your extra thoughts from that you couldn't get out on Sunday? Because I know there's a lot more up there about what is happening here in this particular scene.
You know, I don't, when you say extra thoughts, I don't, off the top of my head, I don't, other than I hope it came across on Sunday. I have never, reading through Revelation this time and studying through it, I have found myself again having these moments where I'm trying to express them on Sunday. And I tried really hard on Sunday, at least I felt like I did,
mm-hmm.
to say, don't look at these things as so much as a negative, like a judgment. You know, the language is extremely strong. The language is overwhelming. The warning is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But I am overwhelmed as I'm reading through Revelation this time on how much I'm seeing these things through the lens of just God's mercy. And I was overwhelmed preparing for it where I sat there for the first time. I've read this before and I've thought about it before, but I was overwhelmed with like, isn't it amazing that God takes the extra step to actually send three angels
mm-hmm.
to proclaim to the world his existence?
Right.
Like, how do you not acknowledge the existence of God? And I think about the world today. So if the rapture happened today
mm-hmm.
and we enter into tribulation, so 3.5 years, you think about the world today and how many people even question the existence of God. Prove your existence. And God's like, okay, three angels
mm-hmm.
proclaiming, you know, that's overwhelming to me. It's just the fact that God would take the effort to do
the mercy to do that.
To say,
yeah.
mm-hmm. you're saying you won't believe unless I prove my existence. Here, I'm going to prove my existence.
Mm-hmm.
So not just his existence, but then also it's the, you know, the mercy of the warnings, you know, the, what each angel proclaims, if a person reads it with a judgmental attitude towards God, they're mm-hmm. going to see that as how horrible God is. But if you read it through the lens of how much God is trying to reach people, one of the greatest acts of love a person can give is to warn you of what's about to happen.
Absolutely.
Right. Not the, you know, so some people will read this and say, well, if God was so good, why isn't he not talking about his love for them? And why isn't he talking about his, you know, why isn't he saying, I want you? And it's like, no, that's not God, this lovey dovey that we've turned him into. His love is, I'm warning you about what's about to happen because that's how much I love you. Mm-hmm. And if you're not going to listen, that's on you. Right. And again, I was just overwhelmed with, like, wow, God, you are so good and gracious when people really don't deserve it at all.
None of us deserve it.
So,
One thing that I found interesting in this section from the one of the Revelation studies I've done was in verse 11, it says, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, these worshipers of the beast and its image and whoever receives the mark of its name. And then if you skip down to verse 13, towards the end there, it's talking of, well, I'll just read it. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors for their deeds and follow them. So there's this contrast here of like no rest and rest. My study basically talked about going back to the Old Testament. When does God demand Sabbath rest from his people? Well, it's after he's rescued and delivered them, because that command can only come after deliverance, because it would have been impossible for them to follow before, because Egypt demanded labor without rest. And going to today, the gods of the city of man demand labor without rest. And so, you know, not only is rest good for you, but he commands it on our behalf. And so I just like to see those tie-ins from like the Old Testament and how he's provided a way for that now. Just really cool.
Yeah.
That was a cool little nugget that I thought was interesting.
No, it is. And what also is, you think about the tie-ins, is it's tied into the Old Testament, but it's also tied into the teachings of Jesus. Mm. And that's why I talked more the harvest. I talked about it, but even here,
it's
the wheat and tares, right? Jesus taught about that. Jesus taught about the sheep and the goats. These are two different parables that Jesus gave that had the same answer. You said the comparison. Mm-hmm. One's in, the other's out.
Right.
Right. And that's what we're seeing here is, you say the comparison during the tribulation, right? Jesus was talking universally of all believers, all non-believers, but we're seeing it played out here for the people in the tribulation. If you take the mark, this is what awaits you.
Right.
If you align yourself with Satan and with his kingdom, this is what awaits you. Blessed are those who choose me. Mm-hmm. Blessed are those that follow me. Blessed are those who die for me.
Yeah.
It's another wheat and tare. So again, that's why it's important to know the entirety of scripture, or study the entirety of scripture, because so many people, again, would read Revelation and they would try to say, well, this doesn't line up with the Jesus that I want to believe in. My Jesus loves. My Jesus accepts. My Jesus is tolerant. It's like, no, your Jesus taught about this. Mm-hmm. Like, not your, but the Jesus taught about this. Mm-hmm. He said, I will separate the sheep from the goats. I will separate the wheat from the tares. Yeah. You know, and the goats off to destruction, the tares off to destruction, the wheat and the sheep will enter into that eternal rest that I have promised. Mm-hmm. So again, it's Revelation is not this on its own book. It ties into every aspect of scripture that comes before it. Mm-hmm. So
going back to those who die in the Lord. So why are those who die in the Lord blessed?
Well, it's the in the Lord part, right? Mm. It's not the death part. It's the in the Lord part. So we could say the same thing today. I understand it's a struggle, because I've lost people, like I've had people pass away that I've been close with, but I haven't yet had somebody extremely close to me. So what I mean by that is like a very close family member, or, you know, so I understand.
A favorite coworker.
I jokingly say, I think I'm going before any of the other coworkers. So, one of the things that when I do funerals, or you're interacting with somebody that loses somebody, is the fact that of course there's going to be sorrow. There yeah. should be sorrow. There should be a sadness. There's a loss that I would never expect anybody not to, right? On the flip side of it, though, there's times where I kind of sit there and you want to try to provide that encouragement for people that are actual Christians to be like, listen, don't let your sorrow be so. There's also, there should be extreme joy.
Right.
You know, because blessed are those who die in the Lord, right? Mm. And sometimes I think even in as Christians, we lose sight of that.
Oh, for sure.
We lose sight of, you know. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think sometimes I hear non-believers having more of a confidence of they're in a good place now than right? sometimes Christians do. And so there's that tension. I'm never mm-hmm. saying there shouldn't be sorrow. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think that passage isn't just speaking about tribulation. Of course, this is tribulation saints that mm-hmm. we're talking about, those that are giving their lives for their mm-hmm. faith. But man, that should be a truth for us even now, you know, mm-hmm. as I think about those that are close to me, and I'm going to be sad when the day comes that they leave this world. But at the same yeah. time, I hope that I'm also rejoicing for them mm-hmm. because they died in the Lord.
Yeah.
That's the blessed part.
What was your cat's name that just died?
Shadow.
Is Shadow going to be in heaven with you?
No, he was a jerk. He did not have a Christ-like attitude.
But he loved you.
He did love me. He did love me. Listen, I don't know. I'm not one of those.
Are you a pets in heaven guy or a no pets in heaven guy?
Okay. The only
we're
way,
off the rails now.
We are. The only way I want pets in heaven is if I have no responsibility for them whatsoever.
Okay.
Like, I do not want to get to heaven and have all my pets waiting there. And then it's like, really? I have to take care of you? No. If they're there and they want to come visit,
you'll awesome. Allow it.
Okay. I'll allow that. But I do not want my pets back. That sounds horrible, but I don't want the responsibility back.
Sure.
Like, that sounds so bad, but.
Oh, listen, my gosh.
I have a cold heart in some ways. Like,
well, we already knew that.
Yeah. I mean, I will say this, just so everybody hears it, I'll say it out loud. When my cat died a couple weeks ago, the day he died that I had to put him down, I was emotional. Yeah. I was very emotional. I cried. I'll admit it. I cried. Mm-hmm. The next day, I'm fine.
Business as usual.
It's like, okay, moving on. And I haven't shed a tear since.
Oh my gosh.
In fact, I've had moments since he died where I'm like,
this is awesome.
Yeah. I've cleaned the litter box because we have another cat. And I'm like, man, this is so much easier with just one cat. This is awesome.
Wow, you guys, this is the guy that...
I know. And I've sat there going, I'm going to save so much money on cat litter and food.
You're so practical.
I am. I miss him. Don't get me wrong, but...
Sure. I love it. I love it. Okay. Any final thoughts? Now we're back on track. Any final chapter 14 thoughts?
No, they're not. I mean, so as final thoughts, I just would encourage everybody again to... When we read Revelation... this is one of the dangers when I say of being overwhelmed is the way scripture does Revelation does flash forwards,
flash backwards,
overviews. Mm-hmm. So it gets confusing because we want to read it as this is going to happen. This is going to happen. Right. This is going to happen. This is going to happen.
Right.
And 14 is a great example of this because 14 begins. And that's why I just want to share this just to encourage everybody mm-hmm. that's why you wrestle with it and you study it and you try to understand it. Because 14 is an amazing chapter with just what we're talking about. It begins with a flash forward, right? Okay. So we're jumping ahead to the end, and we're seeing Jesus and his second coming. So that's a flash forward. Mm-hmm. Then we do a backwards to the present moment of what's happening. Angels are sent out. So that's in the moment of the chronological order of Revelation, right? Okay. Then we hit that harvest of the earth where it talks about the coming bowl judgments, and it talks about the coming Armageddon. And again, it can cause us to cause confusion, but verses 14 through the end of the chapter now, it's like God's giving us an overview of what he's going to go into detail in the next chapters.
Right.
So that's why it gets overwhelming, I think. I just wanted to say that as an encouragement for people mm-hmm. is don't try to read it in this very chronological, oh, then this happened, because again, we didn't talk a lot about 14 through the rest of the chapter, but that's like an overview, mm-hmm. and now we're going to go into detail. Mm-hmm. It's the same way when you read another example is Genesis. Genesis is the same thing.
Yeah.
Genesis chapter one is one, an overview of creation, right? And then chapter two, God goes into some detail. Mm-hmm. He gives detail of the garden and the creation of Adam and all of that. So I just wanted to share that for people to remember when you're reading through Revelation, is it jumps around. Mm-hmm. And it's, that's, I think sometimes that even for me, it causes me, it can cause confusion because you're like, what's going on? So it's just an encouragement. It's an exciting book of God knowing, like flash forwards, flashbacks, present. Let's overview it. Now let's mm-hmm. get deeper.
Yeah.
So it's just a lot.
It is. It is. So this Sunday we're talking bold judgments.
Yes, we are. So this Sunday,
this is our zoom in.
I can say it with all confidence. We are going to do chapters 15 and 16.
Okay, you heard it here, guys.
We will get through chapters 15 and 16.
Okay.
And it worked really well because they actually go together. 15, yes, is the moment when you read ahead. It's the moment where the angels come forth to do the bowl judgments. They mm-hmm. tie together. And then 16 is the actual bowl judgment. So
okay,
it's going to be a very heavy sermon.
I mean, I feel like we say that every week.
Yeah, but this one is, because doing 15 and 16, there's no, well, even 17. Mm-hmm. Let's just put it this way. 15, 16, 17, and 18 are some heavy
yeah.
chapters.
Well, we're gonna get through it together.
We are.
And it's going to be great.
It will be. It will be. Because hopefully I do a good job of acknowledging it, and I'll say it now. We have to remember, even in the bold judgments, It's horrific to think of what's going to happen, mm-hmm. but it's being done because God's fulfilling his promise
right.
to remove sin, remove the curse, bring the rest that you talked about. Like mm-hmm. there's a reason. It's not just him up there being angry and saying, I'm angry. I'm lashing out. There's a reason. Mm-hmm. And we just have to keep that in front of us. So
awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we look forward to Sunday, and thanks for listening. Mm-hmm.